Free Range Tales is a collective of adventures and stories about outdoor pursuits shared by your hosts, Jason Taurasi and Adrian Lozano. Join us as we share our tales and feature guests with unique perspectives on hunting, fishing, foraging, nature, wildlife, and wild foods, and learn about our search for the highest quality sustainable ingredients we can find. On this week's episode, we interview Lamar So Salty Lee. We met Lamar on an offshore fishing trip out of San Diego's Fisherman Landing on a Condor sport fishing boat. On the trip, Lamar was constantly getting hooked up and landing fish. Every time he got bit, he kept yelling, "So salty!" His energy was contagious and someone we needed to talk to. We discussed Lamar's origin into fishing, the trips he's taken around the world chasing fish, and his commitment to staying salty. Lamar is one of those underground guys that lives and breathes everything we're all about here on the Free Range Tales. We had a lot of fun with this one and hope you do too. Thanks for listening. Yeah. And we are back on the Free Range Tales. With me as always, my homie, Adrian Lozano.
Jason, it's been a great hiatus.
It has been, as always. Always out there having fun doing our thing. Today, super excited.
Yep.
We took the show on the road.
Yep.
We're down here in the beautiful confines of Orange County, California.
Yep.
And the reason we're down here is because we went on a sport fishing trip, offshore trip, deep sea fishing.
Overnight trip
out of San Diego, looking for some tuna, and got into some yellowfin tuna. And on this boat, you know, first thing in the morning, as soon as we drop the lines in the water, we hear this dude in the corner of the boat hook up. And all he's screaming is, "So salty, so salty,
salty!"
And we were like, "Who's this dude? We got to meet this dude."
Screaming down there.
So here we are about a month later. Lamar Lee, welcome to the Free Range Tales, man.
Awesome, awesome. Thanks, boys. Good to be here.
Glad to have you.
Definitely a salty time.
Salty time.
Yeah, it was outside. Nice fishing with you guys. That was definitely a good trip. Yeah. Got into the fish a little bit, kind of hit and miss, but definitely a good time.
Absolutely.
For sure, man. And the love continues because we knew you had a good energy. Brought us into your home, cooked us a fantastic meal today.
Yeah, dude, I did not expect that. You know, just, hey, coming over this time and, oh, cool, I'm cooking fish for you guys. Like, we should be cooking for you.
Hey, well, you guys were making the trip out here. I appreciate the call doing this. This is a super awesome thing. Thanks for recognizing me as So Salty, you know, and spreading the love and whatnot. But, yeah, it's cool you guys are doing this and definitely a cool thing, you know.
Awesome.
For
awesome.
Sure, man. So kind of the one thing actually – you just served us some halibut because you just were on a trip just last weekend, right? This Labor Day weekend, you were up in Alaska to catch some fish.
Yeah, I went up to Ketchikan. I got a friend that goes up there for 3 months, kind of semi-retired, takes a trailer up to the Clover Pass. Now he's kind of a captain up there. So wow. I saw Captain Dez on the Oasis and killed it. Yeah, we got like 5 halibut or 6 halibut the first day. And as soon as we landed, actually went out within an hour, didn't even go to my container I was staying in.
Oh,
tell
man.
You about that a little bit. And we got limits of Dungeness crab. My girlfriend Pepper, she got a salmon. God. So got crab, started trolling around, got a salmon, went back, had a crab feast. And it was definitely a good trip. Ended up with like 220 pounds of meat that we brought home. So that halibut was swimming a couple days ago.
Of some free range meat.
Yes, free range. Free range.
That's awesome, man. That's quite the mixed bag too, man. Some Dungeness crab,
yes.
Halibut, salmon, dude,
yeah.
Fantastic.
On your first day, that's
insane.
You didn't even get to put your bags down.
No, I was like, can I change my pants? Am I going to get wet? Like, you know,
what are we doing? What's going on?
Let's go. Let me get my glasses and change. Let me get my boots.
Oh. You know, I brought boots. Yeah, I brought gear
and a cocktail.
Heck yeah.
That's awesome, man. So one of the things that we always like to start with is kind of origin stories, man. How'd you get into fishing? Kind of like what brought you around? You know, like was it something you grew up doing?
Yeah. I was born in Michigan, in Vandalia, Michigan. Small town, 33 bodies of water around it. So my grandfather used to have a little lawn mowing business and garbage route. So he used to go to a lot of lake houses. So I'd go out there, lift up this one boat I remember, and there's always worms. And I was like, grab some worms, my little pole, throw a line in, get some crappie, bass.
Oh, no way.
A little stringer, like, Grandma, I got some dinner. You know, so she'd scale them off, you know, throw them in the fryer. Some mustard, I remember that.
What?
Yeah, eat it up. So I started fishing when I was super, super little, and then just kind of kept it going.
Do you have any of those old recipes from your grandma?
No, I don't. Just fry them.
Fried up, man.
Just dip it in some mustard. Okay. Yeah, which is super cool. Interesting. Some catfish nuggets.
Yeah.
Cut it in little strips, some seasoning, flour, and whatnot.
Amazing. So that's how you started, huh? How old were you when you caught those fish?
Oh, I was super little, way back till I can remember.
Really?
Yeah. I moved here when I was like 7. So that was, you know, 3, 4, 5. Man. Yeah.
That's so rad.
That is awesome.
First, you know, getting your own bait, you know, lifting up the boat, like,
Everything was there. Like, it was just go out and so do it. You know, sick. Drop a line in. It's hard for people to do that now. They're going to 7-Eleven and getting night crawlers and like. But it was super cool. You're out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. So it was super surreal.
So back then you were so fresh, and now you're so salty.
Oh yes, definitely changed. I came to California, you know, and got corrupted.
How did salty come about in your life, huh?
Man, I was on a 7.5 day on the old Big Game 90.
Okay,
now the Chief fishing with Mike.
Oh, so now the Chief. Yeah.
We were on that boat. We were down at the ridge, and that day I just couldn't catch anything. Out there and throwing bait, throwing, you know, jigs and whatnot. Everybody's like, dude, you're salty. He's a salty guy. You ain't catching nothing. As soon as he said that, you know, salty.
So
then I was like, so salty. And then every time I catch a fish, so salty. Do my little
it's
thing.
Like your good luck thing.
Yeah. So then everybody, what's your name on the boat? Salty. Just call me Salty.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's kind of stuck with me.
So contagious, dude. So contagous, dude. Because
It is.
You just hear you hooking up fish, and when we'd hear that call on the boat, we look over, and there you are. You're on again, dude. And we were like, what? Dude, this dude's on again?
Bumping fools. Hey, excuse me, my line. I'm under. Excuse me. Salty.
Right?
Getting some fresh bait, boys. And then eventually the sun broke out, and then you take off your shirt, and I'm like, oh, this dude means business.
Yeah. I got some tattoos across my back.
This dude means business. You have straight up fish tattoos on.
Yeah, I got so salty on there too.
So salty on. Yeah. Like, you are dedicated. You got the gold chain with the yellow fin tuner on there.
Yep, that's
and,
new to the,
you know, it's like, and you are in it. You're doing it.
I love it, man. There's nothing better than being on the boat, meeting cool people like you guys. You know, and just spreading the love, but just catching your own meat, you know, catching it, coming home, cooking it.
Yeah.
You know, once I start doing that, I'll never, ever buy fish. Like, it's hard to buy it in a restaurant or at a store or anything. I'm like, well, what is this?
Where'd it come from? How long was it on deck?
Exactly. Yeah, did you clean it? How you should have. Yeah. Where'd you gaff this one?
Yeah. Well, first pause. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, cheers, man. Thanks again, man. Yeah, it's a good time, dude. Yeah. Cheers.
Right on, yeah. Thanks for having us. Cheers. Oh, yeah.
No, we were laughing, man. That the tattoos commitment, man. It just it shows it right there, dude. You're committed and in the game, dude. And we love it. And just talking about the food aspect, I mean, that's kind of a big reason why we even started kind of recording and doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Is talking about food and the exact reason. You know, we came over here, we'd met you once, exchanged a couple text messages, and here you are. You're preparing a meal for us that you caught literally 3-4 days before, you know, and it's like that's it right there. That sums it all up, dude. That's why we're doing the whole jam, dude.
Thank you again, man. Can't thank you enough.
Norris, you got to spread the love. It was delicious. The wealth, you know?
Yeah, that's what it is, man.
When I give away fish, it's like the best feeling in the world, you know?
Yeah,
it's like
you're
people.
A meal, you know?
Dude, my gardener, he loves that shit.
Oh, yeah. He loves
that. One time I stepped out, I'm like, hey, you like fish? And he's like, Yeah. So I just, here's some vacuum sealed, gave him some grouper. I gave him a lobster. Oh, wow. I gave him a lobster once.
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh, how do I cook this?
Oh, wow.
And I was like, YouTube. I was like, here's how I do it. Here's how I do it. But there's always YouTube. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll YouTube it.
Yeah.
But he loves it, man. I've given him mahi-mahi. I've given him.
That's
you
a special gift, you know. Oh, that's like $24.99 in the store a pound.
It's so true, man.
I was in San Pedro. If you guys ever been down there?
Market
down there.
Oh yeah,
I was down there with my girl, and we were like, okay, well, look at this fish, and it's $24. Looking at the halibut and the salmon, you know, we're like $24.99.
Isn't that crazy?
We just came in with 220 pounds. You know, it's like
so true, cool. Man. Yeah. We always laugh. You know, you'll have like family members, friends, be like, no, you went out on a trip. No, you're successful, and then they're like, hey, let me get some fish.
Can
and
I get
like,
some?
Well, like, yeah, you know, right? This, because you're putting in the time, and of course you share it, but you like laugh because you're like, well, they don't realize all the time and energy and effort that went into it, even though you did it yourself. And then you look at it like, you know, the market price is, you know, like you said, $24.99 a pound. That's, and you're like, damn, like there's some costs that go into it. And there's a lot of like blood and sweat equity that went into going to get that fish too.
Not even counting the gear you already bought or, you know, you've added up over the years. Not even counting that. Thousands of dollars invested, but you woke up at what time?
And then
you drove how long? And then you know, the gas to get there, the food for the day, you got beers on the boat.
Yep.
Then you got to get home and then it's not over. For me, I take that fish home whole so I can process it myself so I can get every little spoonful of meat off of that there fish that I can't. That's just me.
There's a lot of wasted stuff.
Absolutely. And then and then you throw all these factors in and someone's like, oh, dude, you got some tuna.
Yeah, right?
Let me get some.
Wow, that sounds really delicious.
Okay, well, let me get 5 hours of sleep first. You know?
A couple hours of sleep.
And you're just set next up. Weekend when I'm at
you're just so tired. Yeah, you're just so tired. Yeah. It's like, dude, I did get some tuna. Let's talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah. I still stink like fish.
Dude.
So true, man.
That's the best.
One of the things we noticed on the boat, you talk about gear, is you had a bunch of custom rods too that you had on the boat with you. Is that something that you kind of got inspired to do, is kind of hook up like custom rods and get them kind of done up and wrapped yourself?
Yeah. Well, I'm on the pro staff for Phoenix Rods. So I fish a lot with those guys. One of our buddies that's in the group is Lupe, and he's a mastermind at making those things. So we get some of the new prototypes and stuff like that and want to try them out. So I'll wrap this for me. You know, we got a trip coming up.
Oh, that's crazy.
So he'll wrap them and, you know, put whatever on them. He gets very creative. There's
like pictures on him.
Yeah. Me and my girlfriend got a Super Cow, a 351 this year in Puerto Vallarta in March. So he surprised me with that one. I was like, make me a Restoration Pros, which is my restoration company that I have. And he came back with a Restoration Pros one and a, you know, picture of me and my chick on there. So I was like, babe, look at what we got. You know?
That is unreal. Cause I saw that rod on there, that stick on there. And I'm like, what? You can put pictures on rods?
Yeah. He comes up with it and, you know, acid wraps them and does all sorts of cool things.
Unreal.
But it's cool to have, you know, different kind of gear and, you know, nice rods to help you.
If you guys want to see these fish, So Salty Lee is his Instagram handle. Okay. So Salty Lee, one word.
Screaming Sardine One.
And Screaming Sardine. Screaming
man.
Sardine One.
Why don't we touch on that, man? A little Screaming Sardine, man.
Hey, yeah,
we were like on the shirt.
Yeah. It's kind of something we just kind of came up with, just got the trademark done and whatnot. So not sure where I want to go with it. Eventually, kind of want to retire possibly and have like a little fishing, you know, charter sort of restaurant or
anything.
Know, something like that. You know, we were always making food.
It's a very cool name.
Spread the love. So just kind of created that. My girlfriend's stepmom actually came up with it. They were talking about, she's like, I went on a boat, you know, and I was hooking, grabbing these sardines, and, you know, Lamar's telling me I'm killing them, and there's like one screamed, and she's like, oh my God, Screaming Sardine, you know, so they kind of came up with it, and then she came back to me like Screaming Sardine, and I'm like, that's super catchy.
That's really catchy.
Yeah. So hopefully
when I saw
Salty Crew or something.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. That's how it started, you know?
Yeah.
But when I saw that the back of your sweatshirt and the back of your tank, I was like, dude, that's such a good logo.
Yeah.
And the way you did the S and then the whole name Screaming Sardine, it's catchy. Like you said, dude, well done.
Charlie Tatuna, which has done all my artwork up in Pasadena.
Okay.
Shotgun Tattoo. He did that for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, hey, you're good at fish. Can you hook me up?
Oh,
you
know, dude.
Do a little design for you and do it. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
So super smart.
And, like one an S as the... You know,
super smart. It's super creative.
It's legit, dude.
Super cool. Right on.
Yeah. It caught our eyes for sure, dude.
T-shirts to go.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Thank you for those, dude. We'll represent, dude. We're going to represent for sure, dude.
We'll throw a picture on our page for sure of this Screaming Sardine so you guys can see it.
Yeah, heck yeah. More designs to come.
Dude, well,
absolutely.
I don't want to go back to it because you kind of sped right through it, man. You said you got a Super Cow this year too, right?
Yeah.
Down Puerto Vallarta.
51.
What does that mean, a Super Cow?
Okay. A Super Cow is over 300 pounds. So you have a cow, which is over 200,
right?
Which took me 6 years to get that. Got that last year. And then this year we got the Super Cow, which was my girlfriend. We fought it for an hour. And then it kind of tired her out. And then I took over, fought it for another hour and a half, and then finally killed it.
Wow.
They literally lifted me off the ground. I'm trying to get down on it, you know,
some leverage.
And it just went like, it was like teeter totter. And I was like, I looked at my buddy like, help. Yeah. And then
you
just got back
scared.
Down. And then, just like 2-3 inches. You know what I mean?
But
like,
you were going to go over.
This is huge fish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was my thought. You know, then once it kind of came up to color, my buddy Brad, which got a 280 last year, was like, dude, it's the biggest one I've ever seen. And I'm like, what? It's bigger than yours? You know, because I was 280 and I never thought I'd see a bigger one than that. And sure enough, they're like, super cow. And I'm like sweating profusely, you know, just like, you're like, hold it straight. And I'm like, dude, I can barely hold on, you know, and just crank, 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 crank. And sure enough, a couple more circles goes down, a couple more circles came up and they stuck it. And I was just like, I need a water. Couldn't even hold my arms up to celebrate for a minute, you know, but you got to so salty. Yeah, real quick. So and yeah, you know, good old Phoenix Rods got the gear, you know, that helps out. And the Apollo is a great charter boat down there. They definitely do it up and put you on the fish. So we were super blessed to get that fish.
That is so that's rad. Amazing, man.
I just bought my first Phoenix rod this year, so I can't wait to you know
nice. Take it out, do your thing on it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so awesome, dude.
Have some fun, boys. Heck sure. Yeah, dude! I can't wait to get on the boat with you again.
I call my chicken. I'm like, the fish are biting. She's like, you say that to me every day.
They're on. They're on.
Day off.
How'd you get into saltwater fishing when, you know?
This guy, Dave and Brian, salty. He's salty too.
Yeah. You know? He's salty one, he's salty two.
Yeah. He's salty. I guess I'm so salty. But I used to work with this guy, Dave, and then they were buddies and used to go out together. And this guy, Dave's coming up to me because I used to talk about fishing and trout and stuff like that. He's like, you're Lamar, dude. I heard about you. And I'm like, oh, what here? And they're like, no.
That you like fishing.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, you fish and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, dude, for sure. You know, he's like, oh, you got to come with me in the ocean. And I was like, I don't know about the ocean. You know, it's like, can you see land and all that fun stuff? And he's like, don't worry, you know, super safe, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay. So we started off on a 3/4 day, go out, get some rockfish.
Cool.
Super cool. I'm dropping it down, bringing up all sorts of cool stuff. And I was like, wow, this is great. Thanks, man. You know, and then
catching fish.
Then Captain Ernie on the Chabasco calls him up and he's like, dude, the yellowtail are biting at Catalina. Go. You know what I mean? So he's like, okay, can we charter the boat? Got the boat. He's coming back in. He's like, oh, engine broke. Get on any boat you can. So then we got on the Thunderbird out of Newport.
Oh, yeah.
Go out, go to Catalina, fishing with squid. And I'm like, what is this little thing? You know, kind of creepy at the first.
Absolutely.
And then throwing out, first fish in the morning, boom, get nailed, backlashes me. And I'm like, what do I do? Wind over it, get it up, boom, then breaks off. And I'm like, oh, my only rod. You know, and I'm like, help. You know, it's all rat nested. I'm like, they're like, just grab any pole. And I'm like, okay. Go over there, grab a rental rod, throw it in. Ended up with 5 yellowtail that day.
Oh, my God.
I come back, and I'm like, that was the best thing ever. You know, Bo had like 150, so now I was hooked.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, hey, what do I need? You know, just started accumulating stuff.
And, yeah.
You know, got into it. Then I was like, I want a bigger fish, bigger one.
That's so
loud. Yeah, forever I started doing all these other trips and could only catch anything but yellowtail. And then finally got a tuna, you know, a big tuna. And I was like, this is awesome.
So what's the shortest distance boat that you've been on that you caught tuna? Like, you know, 3/4 day, overnight, obviously overnight.
I've been on some 3/4 days and gotten some tuna. Yeah. But I've been traveled and did some 4-hour trips and, you know, gotten some little tunas.
Gotcha.
But yeah, locally 3/4 days, probably the shortest trip I've been on.
Dang.
Yeah. But I take my daughter out and stuff on little half days and we've gotten some yellowtail and stuff like that locally, which is super cool.
Dude, that's so rad to pass it on to the daughter.
Yeah. Oh, she's a little animal. She calls herself Wasabi. You know, we were in Mazatlan.
So salty and wasabi.
Yeah, you know.
What a combo.
Pepper juice.
You guys
so good,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Like, if we have another kid, she's like, my daughter's like, oh, we'll call him soy sauce.
Ponzu.
Yeah. Like, all right, we need to get ginger in there too. You know.
That's so good, dude. So good.
Yeah.
Hilarious, dude. So that's cool. Really rad. Good stuff, dude. Love it. What's your best tuna story? Or, you know, what's a good story you want to drop on us? Like
there's a couple of good ones. One time I was on the Condor, but we were on.
Right.
And we were coming back in, kind of a slow day. And then next thing you know, I'm sleeping on the wheel right where you saw, I can't remember what you called them, but.
They call them Lurch.
Yeah, Lurch. He was lurching up there. Yeah, he was chilling. I'm posted up. Super great boat. Super cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool, great.
Done a lot of good fish on that boat. But
we
were coming back in, and then all of a sudden, Captain's like, mother load in front of me. Get ready. Grab whatever. I pop up. What? As soon as he stops the boat, throwing it in, it was just mayhem for 2 hours on like 40 to 60 pounds of fish. As soon as you threw it in, just put it in gear, and it was just like trying to follow it. Got dark. It was just, you bust off. That's why I bring like 10 rods. and just grab another one, get in, trying to tie a hook, just shaking. You know what I mean? Within that 2.5 hour period, I probably got 10, 12 fish.
What? No way, dude.
Yeah, and it was phenomenal fishing.
That's what I'm talking about.
I've never experienced. I've heard of that happening, and I've never experienced it
years ago. I wanted, but it was just like you pop up, and you're like, what? And it was just like, go. But, you know, everyone works so well together, and gapping the getting them on the boat.
That is
it was
unreal, just like, dude.
Yeah, tag them and drag them, and it was like, I don't even care anymore. I
just,
you know,
just get it on the deck and go. Just keep going.
Yeah, so that was a killer trip. We've had some killer trips in Puerto Vallarta too.
How often do you go out?
I go down there every year. So we do with Phoenix, we do a 12 people down there.
Okay.
And then it's in March and go down for 4.5 days. So we do awesome. It every year.
Dang.
Yeah, but it's a good time. We go down there, hang out, drink some tequila for a couple of days, go zip lining and, you know, hang out on shore. And
just make a little vacation out of it and chill.
Just different scenery, relax for right. a little bit. You know what I mean?
Get and then you're ride. Going out here locally as much as you can, obviously.
Yeah. I do like a business charter. We do that every year. And then I got a bunch of friends that are, you know, boats and want to go out. So I'm always trying to introduce people to fishing as well. Like,
hey, yeah.
They're always seeing me like, oh, you got more fish? I need to go. And I'm like, when do you want to go?
I'll schedule
Don't you. Give me an excuse. You know, I'll sorry, guys. You. It's a business trip.
It's funny because you talked a little bit about the progression going from like, you know, doing like the, you know, half day, three quarter day boats, like, catching rockfish.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is like you get some yellowtail and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I got to sleep on this thing.
Yeah. And then it kind of goes. Then you start to get your first tuna. And then, you know, if you get anything bigger, like you start to kind of like get that yearning for those bigger fish. And then it just draws you to do stuff like to go to Alaska, go to like Puerto Vallarta, like do those bigger trips.
Because
you're like, man, like. Yeah. You start to search, you know,
exactly.
Like
exactly, yeah, and then you start wanting to chase different species. You know, you're like, I've caught so many football tunas and, you know, yellowtail and dorado. I want a huge halibut, you know, and a salmon. And, you know, eating wise though too, you know, eating salmon and halibut is phenomenal,
right?
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It is, man.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, I want a wahoo. Like, we're gonna get one of those. You know, and just going to different places, meeting different people, seeing different fishing styles. You know, is super cool. You know, you can always learn something.
Right.
Into learning different techniques and, you know, where it's come and, you know, how it's evolved and so on and so forth.
So true, man. I think that's one of the bigger things too, is just learning techniques. And one of the things too, I wanted to touch on the trip, we were with you on the Condor.
I know where
you
know, this is going.
We hear you yelling, you know, so salty, he's on again. We're like, all right, what's this guy doing? I'm going to go stand next to this guy, see what he's doing, because he's hooking up fish.
I watched you grab bait and I'm like, okay, I'll grab one that looks just like that. But what was he doing?
So you were kind of had like, we call it like a little video game you were playing with the, you know, kind of backspinning the reel. So you're letting the sardine get out there, kind of swim out and take some line. You'd cast it out there, get it out there into the strike zone, if you will. Yeah. And then kind of backstroking your reel your spool, just kind of backspinning it a little bit. And then that causes the sardine, if I'm not mistaken, I'm kind of just going off of what I kind of saw and felt was that then the sardine kind of gets a little action in it and it starts to swim.
Yeah, you always want to have contact with your bait. One, keep your line tight, you know, where it's at. You know, a lot of people, it's like, oh, my sardine went out, and then he swam way back to me. So I'm trying to make sure he's going out, for one. And then if you do that, a lot of times if he's belly hooked or butt hooked, then it pulls on him, and they're like, feel a little tug, and they're like,
trying to get away from it.
Yeah, and then they just bolt again. So even when you're pulling on their nose, they're like, no, I don't want to go back that way. I'm going back out this way. You know, so just keeps contact with them, give them a little jerk, then they tug back and gives them that little jolt, you know, and hopefully that jolt is just enough for that fish to see that sporadic little deal, you know, and trigger that kind of action.
Oh, it was enough.
Yeah.
We saw it work. We saw it work time and time again.
I learned that, you know, from Dave and Brian and, you know, a bunch of other, Mike on the Big Game 90 taught me a lot about fishing.
And thank you for sharing that on the boat with us, because like I had asked you, like, what are you doing there? Why are you doing that? And you were like, oh, dude, I'm feeling the line. I got it. You know, I'm sending them further. I'm like, what? And you're like, yeah, I'm tugging on them. You feel that? Keeping it tight. You tug on them and they take off.
Yeah.
And
sometimes they don't. And if you don't, you wind it in and get another.
Yeah, you throw it out and start again.
Yeah. They said, what, 3 minutes? If your bait's out there for 3 minutes, get a new one.
It's if he's swimming, sometimes I'm like, keep on going. Because sometimes it is that long soak.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Last time I was just out on the OC95 bluefin fishing, it was like, long soak, and as soon as you started to wind it in, so bam, you
know, got hit, and that was it.
You know, yeah. So it depends on kind of what the fish are doing, you know, just kind of pay attention.
I think that's how I caught my first yellowfin on the boat was I started reeling it in because they had said, you know, 3 minutes, oh, change your bait.
Yeah.
You know, if you've been out since the beginning, change your bait. So then I was like, oh, okay, yeah, it's been about that time. Started reeling in, and that's when I hooked up on the first one.
Nice.
And then the second one, after I rebaited, it just took off. It's just weird. It must have been a fresh swimmer, and that's why it just took off.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But
you get that screaming sardine.
Yeah.
So perfect.
Sometimes you got to just stand next to the screamer. You know?
And it worked because it worked for all of us. Like our like crew that was out there, we all ended up getting fish and we all kind of like, we're like, all right, like let's try it out. And sure enough, man, like all of us ended up getting fish, dude.
Yeah, nice.
It was dope.
Awesome. Yeah, back dope. Love, you know, I was trying to help somebody. Try not to kill your bait when you're at the bait tank. You know, a lot of people are making them scream by grabbing them and, you know, choking them out. You know, so just kind of grab it softly, hook it, and let it go, and get it in the water.
You don't put any top fingers on it, huh?
Not really. No, I just kind of scoop them up.
Because when I go to scoop them up like that, they're just going buck wild and trying to get out of my hand.
Yeah, scoop them up from the belly and just, you know, as long as you're not like erratic with them.
You just can't squeeze them.
Yeah, no. Don't do that. You don't want to.
Yeah. Because I've had scales on my hands, you know. And then
yeah, that's typical. Yeah. You know, but once you have like 50 of them, you're like,
I squeezed them too hard.
Stop swimming, man. You can't get a bait to swim today. It's not squishing. Yeah, you're like, well, you killed it.
You squished it, man. You squished it.
You screamed it.
Yeah. It was like, kill.
And those are the little lessons, man, I think that people don't really talk about too much. You know, you got to kind of like pay attention and learn.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, somebody shows you like, hey, bait selection, look for the swimmer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like be gentle with it.
Exactly.
Hook it and then go put it in the water quick. Yeah, and like, don't mess around with it. Like, get it out there.
It's hard to do though. I mean,
yeah.
If you've never fished before, you know, and you try to grab one of those things, there's 20 of them and they're all swimming around.
Corner.
Like, come here. Yeah. You know, you finally get one, you're like, I got you. Yeah. You know, like, you're just stoked you got it. You know,
are the darker or lighter ones any preference on the fish? Or because I've seen a difference in sardines there.
Yeah, it kind of the greener ones are usually the best.
Yeah,
I say the greener the better. It's kind of cured. You know, been chilling for a little bit.
Okay.
But
is that the darker green or the lighter green?
Like the lighter green.
If it's gotcha.
Like bright, you know, shining like a diamond.
That's
know?
What I noticed.
Look at that, like
pretty
that.
Guy.
It sparkles.
You know I noticed they swim better in the little bait tank.
Yeah.
They're kind of livelier.
Yeah, they're
lighter
fresh
ones.
And they're just like, a lot of times bait, depending on how long it's been sitting in the bait receiver.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And in the bait tanks.
Right.
It kind of makes a difference.
Interesting.
Yeah. So sometimes they get like fresh stuff that's just been transferred. If there's like a lot of boats and the fishing's hot, the bait's just constantly being turned over. But sometimes they'll have like the cured bait that's been sitting in there for 2 to 3 days. So it's had time to acclimate. It's not being transferred from out there to here, then to another tank.
Right.
You know
right.
I mean? So it's like, what's going on? You know, and you put a hook in it and you're like, go out there.
Swim as fast as you can.
Be somebody, man.
Go,
get out there.
Go. You know, like.
That's crazy. One thing I just kind of didn't really think about until I had taken a trip somewhere else was that California is one of the only places in the world that has like a bait fishery and you can pull up to the bait barge.
Yeah.
They took a couple scoops of bait in your boat, and then you're off fishing.
Yeah.
Other places, you have to go catch your bait.
Right.
Yeah, or you're getting it from a pongero,
right?
You know, or somebody
that's already got out and caught it for you and done their thing, man. It's crazy.
Well, when I was down in Baja, we would leave out on the dock, and since we were spearfishing, we just jammed out. But there was boats right there in the little tiny bay, and what are they doing? In the little
jigging for bait.
They're catching bait, and then that's for them to go out. It's like, oh, yeah, they don't have a bait barge out here.
Yeah.
They can't just pull up to something with a whole bunch of seagulls
and seals and be like, it's like nature out here. This is great so far. We haven't even left.
They got sabiki rigs.
Wow. Yeah.
It's so funny.
They're catching fish to catch fish.
Yeah.
So that's really rad. I mean, but it takes time. That takes time out of your day.
Yeah,
you know?
It takes time out of your day on the water and what you're doing.
Early.
But then again, those fish are acclimated. There ain't really...
They're super fresh, too. You know, you probably got some swimmers in there. And...
Oh, yeah.
So that might be a interesting factor in catching more consistent fish is catching them fresh while, I don't know, not from a bait barge. But then again, you get some good fish from a bait barge, too.
I think there's good fish everywhere.
No, it's true. Yeah, it's true. It just seems like such a unique fact that I didn't really think about. Well, kind of growing up in California, going out on sport boats here and stuff.
You don't
think about it, you know?
And you're like, what are we using? They're like, we're just trolling. Or I got some ballyhoo or something frozen, you know what I mean? That they rig up, like most Mexicans, you know.
Which is what?
A ballyhoo. It's like, looks like a little marlin. You know, like when you go to Cabo or anywhere like that, you're trolling for marlin and Dorado, whatever. They put dental floss kind of specter or whatever through it, rig it up, and then they troll those guys behind the boat.
Oh, no. I see. I haven't done that.
Almost like a yummy or something, like a kite yummy or
flying
something.
Fish,
like,
almost.
Yeah, like
just like a, it's like a long, big, long sardine. Almost,
oh, wow.
But they have like a little bill on them. And then they just break off the little bill and then,
you know, tie it up. And
yeah, tie it up, rig it up, put like a little hook through it, and just troll those guys.
Oh, wow.
Crazy.
That's
dude.
Super cool. Yeah. Crazy. Smart. Yeah, I just done stuff jigs like and stuff and feathers and all that.
Well, let's
nothing fancy like that.
Hey, I'm just on the boat, right? You know what, I mean? What you got?
Hook me up,
that?
Yeah.
Great,
send it out
can't
there,
wait
man.
To say hook up.
Zombie, yeah. Bait.
Let me know when you want to reel, dude. I'll reel it up. Mm-hmm. Let me know, man. Well, I'm out of beer, so let's take a quick break, yeah. And then we'll come back with some more from Lamar Lee.
So salty.
Yeah. We're back from a quick little cooler break. Got a full beer. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Drinking some Alpine Beer Company. Some picture mm-hmm. perfect today, man. Some good stuff, man, right here.
Drinking water.
Liver recovery.
Yes.
Got to take breaks, man. Got to take breaks.
Picked up an Alpine value pack or a variety pack is what they call
it's
it.
Delicious, man. Some good stuff in there.
Has a mix in there. The Duet, the HFS, mm-hmm. and the... What is that one? Pitcher Perfect.
Oh, it looks
perfect.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah,
perfect.
That one's the pale ale, and then the rest are India.
Yeah, man. So
pale ales.
Anyways, man, back to the fishing, dude. So delicious. We've been talking about.
We usually talk about beer. That's why.
We talk about everything. A little bit of everything, man. Dabbling a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
What are you drinking tonight? Right.
But you know, kind of in the break, we started talking about all the traveling, dude. And, you know, you kind of touched on Puerto Vallarta, and that's kind of a yearly trip for you. You've been up to Alaska and,
yeah,
you know, traveling, one of my favorite things to do. And then to spin in some exploration and then to go fishing, hunting, whatever the deal is, like,
yeah,
takes it to that next level. Always.
Yeah, definitely. So it's fun just getting out, seeing new things, you know, meeting new people and just catching different fish. You never know what you're going to get in a different fishery. You know, you pick up some different styles and whatnot. And I love to explore, you know, so you get out there, go to some cool tequila factories. I went to the Mayan ruins, which was just amazing.
So cool.
Sick.
You know, very spiritual place.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's cool to get out there and just see different things. You know, it's like you get a whole different perspective, you know, on life and whatnot once you can, you know, kind of do those things.
So, cool experiences.
Yeah.
Take you there.
Go to a couple places. Went to Fiji. And that was like super cool sitting there just looking out my little cabana, you know, and ocean's right there, just splash. I'm just like, oh, this is super cool. Then guy walks by with a fishing pole, and I'm like, hey, stop. Yeah, you look like, you know, what you doing? You know, like, where are you going? And he's like, oh, you want to go fishing, mom? You know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, you know.
How much? Do you need help?
You know, and like, so next thing you know, this guy Sam comes over in his little boat, you know, and we're like, oh, little Ponga guy, let's go out, man. And he's like, wow. Cool. So he took us out a couple days. And we ended up catching like a couple little Sierra mackerel and little jack and a couple other things. Cooked them up. They cooked them up for us. Super cool. So that was cool to get the local vibe. You know, he took us to the village, the school,
so cool.
Like a little local spot. So it's cool. Cool vibe. Super cool to do.
So rad, man. Yeah. So rad. And that seems like a place that like revolves around the ocean, man. Like it just seems like everyone's probably engaged in some ocean activity at some part of their day.
Yeah,
know?
A lot of surfing up there. I mean, you're looking out people on their
right.
You know, surfing,
right.
Not some killer waves.
Right.
You know, way too big for me. You know? It's cool to see. They had a thing called Cloud 69. It's just like a big old party spot in the middle of nowhere in the ocean. Just jumping off the top of it. Got pizzas and just
what?
All you can drink pretty much.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
So, how have I not heard of this before,
out,
dude?
Yeah, jumping out in clear water. It's just a big old tower out there.
That's so sick.
Cool. Yeah, killer spot. You're like, what is that? And it's like, party. You know? Let's go fishing again, you know?
Yeah, I didn't do a lot of snorkeling and stuff like that. So, yeah, Cooper, super cool.
Super cool.
Yeah, traveling, super fun.
Yeah, that's another thing we were talking about, too. You know, Adrian and I like to do some spear fishing, and you showed us a gun that your buddy had shaped, and yeah. You're, you know, kind of maybe have some aspirations to dip your head underwater and give that a shot?
Possibly hunt, huh?
I'd love to. You know, you guys are going to show me the ropes. So, you know,
we'd love to do it, man.
Training, you know what I mean? But yeah, Daniel made me a cool gun over there. And
yeah,
I definitely want to break it in. You know, my goal next year, I always set New Year's resolutions, is to shoot a fish.
Yes.
You know, over 10 pounds.
Boy, man, that's a good goal right there, dude.
I've gotten a perch before. I've shot in a couple perch.
You could do that.
Yeah, but you I was like target practice. So
yeah,
like, cool. And I was like, no, I want something big.
No, yeah. You know, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. I'll teach you a couple of things. And then, you know, just easy things like holding your breath.
Oh, you start breathing all fast. I'm like,
no, don't do that.
Wrapped around, you know, I'm like in a swimming super in a circle. Simple. Like
super simple. Super simple stuff. And it'll take your experience to the next level.
Well, what kind of mask and flippers should I get?
Well, the kind that fit your face, number one. So okay. we want a nice, soft outer ring that, you know, is comfortable on your face. I see you're sporting a mustache, which is very fashionable, but we'll have to get a high, you know, one like mine, that mask that I use, because
the high ring.
I still use, like, you know, a little bit of
Vaseline or something on the soak mustache. It up.
That is the trick to the mustache, but you have to find one that fits on your face, period.
Okay.
So we'll get you set up.
We'll go mask shopping.
Yes.
Mask and flipper shopping.
And flipper.
Just when you thought you spent enough money on fishing,
yeah,
there's a whole other level, dude.
Venture, yeah, man. I'm like, oh, I got to get me a new float.
Time out.
I ordered a float off Amazon.
Time out. I mean, we're talking like two rod and reel setups is what you'll get for everything you need in spear fishing. You know, sure. Like,
I see you guys with some long flippers.
Come on.
Some free dive flippers. Some carbons.
Your rods and reels are way more
expensive
than spearfishing gear. I mean,
I'm sure. Things are probably a couple $100.
Well, for what?
For some big ones?
Yeah. From some fins?
Yeah.
Oh, you call them flippers.
I want to know the lingo.
Yeah, you got to get the lingo, man. He's learning. Yeah, he's learning, dude.
For some fins, yes.
For some fins.
Yes.
Okay.
So about $200, absolutely.
Get you set up.
With some nice ones. Sweet. Those would be some nice ones. And then, you know, there's the wetsuit.
I got a good gun, a wetsuit.
Yeah. You already have a gun.
Yeah, that's the hard part is getting the gun down.
Your gun is dialed.
Wetsuit.
Wetsuit's a good point. Yeah,
the wetsuit. Okay. And then mask, snorkel, super basic there.
I need to get like a camo one.
Sometimes I think that's more for style than anything.
Okay. What's like the...
You don't need camo.
Best color, like,
you don't need camo anything. What you need is stretchy, because that means flexibility around
your armpits
and... Your breathing abilities, absolutely.
Definitely so.
Yeah, I would say like spearfishing more than anything else I've ever done, it's like being comfortable.
Yep.
Yeah.
And like comfortable not only with yourself and your mind, because that's like it's a big mind game. Being comfortable with like the clothes you're wearing, like your wetsuit. If it doesn't fit right, it makes you uncomfortable. If you're not weighted correctly, it makes you uncomfortable. If your snorkel doesn't fit right, it's not comfortable. And all that plays these little minor factors into your head game, because your head game is the biggest part of it.
Yeah.
And so if you get everything comfortable and then you can relax, you can breathe up properly and then you can make good dives, man. I will tell you, and I don't mean to throw my boy under the bus here, but we've told this story before.
Throw me under anytime.
So we took him out for the first time. It was for like my birthday. We're going out to Catalina, big crew of us all going out on my buddy's boat. We go out there, invited him to come with us. And I'm like, dude, like bring a wetsuit, bring some fins, like we'll go spear fishing. I got an extra spear pole for you. Like, like let's go. Like we're gonna go out there and go spear diving. You know, we're gonna go spear fishing, go diving. There's like a beer fest or something. So it was like kind of we'll just go out there and party all weekend, have a good time. We'll dive in between and just like try to get some fish. So we take him out there, go out, all of us gear up, dive in the boat. He wouldn't get off the boat. Like he was looking at us just like 8 o'clock in the morning, crazy. Like cracks a beer. Like, nah, dude, I'm not getting off. You guys are crazy, dude. I'm not getting off the boat.
Jump out.
Like, throw a flag out. Yeah, we put our dive flag up for sure. Okay.
They
we're all set up. Dive flag, you know, a bunch of us floats, everything. Like we're pretty set up.
Parameter is that supposed to?
I mean, that gives people a visual that there's divers in the water around the boat.
Just makes them aware to like keep a spot out to like say, hey, look for people moving around.
So boats should not buzz by. In other words, if you see that red flag with the white stripe. But I see them all excited to get in and I'm like, I can't get sharks out of my head.
We were front side of Catalina, west end.
I don't even know anything about fishing in the ocean at this point, seals like that. Round. I don't know anything about seals at this point.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I just know they're excited to get in the water, and I'm saying, nope.
Yep. Stay close.
So anyways.
So anyway, we eventually coax him into the water. First, he just jumps in with his just board shorts and fins.
Because you guys are having fun. You guys are coming out of the like, you know, taking
a dive. We're all laughing, having laughing, a good time. Like, did you see that? Did you see that fish?
I'm like, what'd they see?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I didn't see.
So that's what happened.
And it kind of just...
He planned it. He set everything up like right there. Like, in case you change your mind, here's your flippers. Yeah. That's what they were. They were like bodyboarding flippers, I think.
Yeah. We just kind of got them set up and just kind of were like, hey. And then eventually he got in the water and then, you know, gave him a pole spear, started swimming around. And then we were all like kind of done. We couldn't get the dude out of the water. You know what I mean? Like he just like was hooked, man. Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much what happened.
One. I want to shoot one.
Okay.
And that kind of was like the tug is the drug, man. Yeah. Got a fish and then just was on, you know. And
I
it's
came
just
back. I was so excited I had it. Dude, I felt it, right?
It's a different style. And like it was something we talked about a little earlier, you know, like kind of our pursuit has become being an angler. And I think, you know, you talked about it a little bit too, like, you know, going up to Alaska, doing like salmon fishing, doing halibut fishing, doing, you know, tuna fishing, yellowtail.
Crab trapping.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what a variety.
Anything. And like, you know, I always like said, and I told you before, man, it's all like, if I can give you a fishing pole in any situation, can you figure it out and get it done, man? That's kind of the pursuit, dude. Yeah, so
for sure.
It's cool, man.
Fresh water to salt water, we can catch something.
Yeah, man. It's cool, dude.
But it's nice to learn how to, you know, provide for yourself, you know, in these different environments. You know, what if you're out in Alaska, you get stranded. I know how to catch some crab and some salmon.
Super sick.
Bears, you know?
So crazy. It's so crazy. Yeah, I mean, I always think about my first, you know, trip and whatnot, and that changed me right there.
For sure. I could see myself totally getting into it.
That was, you know? I mean,
I fish a lot, and I see people spearfishing. I'm like, and they come up with these huge tuna, and I'm like, to see those things swimming down there and then to shoot one.
Right.
You know, I was like, I don't really know how the. Just like with a pole, and it's attached to the float and the pole, and
no, like it's set up like your gun is set up, actually, like a breakaway. You don't have a reel on your gun.
Okay,
it's the same thing. It's set up on a float line with a float, and so when you actually shoot the trigger and it goes off, your gun is separated from it.
Gotcha.
And then you're fighting it with the float and the float line, and then. So the float line is bungee with line going through it, so that stretches, and that's your drag, basically.
Yeah.
You know, if you were to compare it. And then sometimes these the cows, anything over 200 is potentially going to take that float down underwater.
Yeah.
So that's pretty wild, man.
Go.
I've only seen videos. I can't wait to do one of those. I've only seen videos. We're trying to get
them. Yeah, we've been trying to do.
You can just jump over and be like, what's down there?
Dude, that's what.
Sure, go ahead and be like, follow the buoy.
It's like Jaws takes on.
Yeah, takes the buoy and goes.
Well, that's what it's like. They go straight down. So usually the float just like tombstones, just bobs and then tries to go down. Mm-hmm. But that's how we fight them.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Are you swimming with them though? Ugh. Especially if there's a school of them going by, but like there's like torpedoes.
Let me tell you this.
Different level.
I am not a deep diver. And I shot mine at 12 feet.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. They were just literally a foamer.
Oh, wow.
So, I just swam to the foamer. I can hear it splashing. You're just swimming to it? Oh, yeah, dude. It's a gut check.
Adrenaline pumping, you know, like, and doing the whole thing.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Swim around you.
I'm hearing the captains, dive. I'm like, nope. I'm going to swim as close as I can. So I get to probably from here to that back fence, and then I dive. And then there they are.
Bam.
I'm just seeing, like, the dark shadows. And
they're fast.
Okay.
Huh?
Okay. Well, everything went in slow motion.
Oh, I'm sure.
Everything went in slow motion. Oh, so right. I couldn't even tell you if it went fast. I just put my gun straight out and I just look left to right and there's the one.
Shoot him.
Bam. And then I see silver belly. It turns straight down and
then you're
15 minute fight. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. My buddy got on right after me too. My buddy got on right after me.
Oh, wow.
He swam up. I'm like, Aaron, they're down there. Go get them.
Yeah.
And he just went down there and shot one, dude.
Oh, man.
And we were both on. We both landed ours.
Amazing.
And then our other two buddies, we got 4 fish that day, and it was the trip of a lifetime.
Oh, wow. I can imagine.
Can't wait.
Home on that one.
Just, everyone's frothing, dude, for sure.
You're going to be on them, too, dude.
Oh, yeah. One day.
I can't wait.
Get me out there. Like,
oh, are you guys ready? Like, you ready? Like, oh. We're gonna have to wear a GoPro.
You push me, and I'll go. I'll go.
We're gonna wear a video for that one. For
sure. No, it's a different kind of connection to the experience. But it was funny. Just like our buddy Captain Bly told us, dude, he was like the best spear fisherman or the best fisherman. They understand water. They understand the fish, and you know, just like we were talking about earlier, you know, knowing how to work bait when you're fishing. There's all that kind of plays into it because you have to understand the water currents, like all of that plays into it.
Yeah.
Like you pull up to a spot and you're anchored up. You want to, you know, get into the above current side of a pinnacle or something. And so all that kind of stuff plays into it. So if you know how to fish, you're going to know how to spear fish.
Exactly.
So it just kind of plays into it, but it's just that the mental game, but
exactly.
It's just a little
We're
different.
We're going to get you in there.
Make yourself comfortable.
Yeah.
But it's all good, man. It's just fun, man. It's just another avenue to pursue the game. You know, that's
maybe,
kind of what
you know,
it is.
No one's ever tried like taking screaming sardines and throwing them all over you and then dive down.
It's to attract it, make it easier for me. Just get in and say, so salty.
Oh.
I'll be on the boat here. You want me to get in there and be like, oh, I'm
so
yes,
funny, man.
I love
so
it.
Funny.
I love it. I cannot get it out of my mind. So
well,
salty.
Dude, do you have any trips coming up that you're excited about or kind of getting prepped up for?
Yeah. There's a couple coming up. My daughter asked her what she wanted for her birthday, and she's like, Daddy, I want a Wahoo. And I was like, oh, me too. You know, so I've chasing one of those for a couple years. So I think we might go over to La Paz, like you guys were just talking about, or Cancun.
Awesome,
so, yeah, that's October 6th through the 11th. So we'll try to get a couple of days of fishing in.
Sweet.
That's coming up then, quick, man. Dang.
Yeah. And then we do the Phoenix trip every year to Guadalupe. So doing a trip to Guadalupe Island, which is amazing. The great whites out there. Oh, my God. That's like when I see that.
Dude, you're like, no, I'm not getting in that water.
They're eating 150-pound tuna like a French fry.
Nope.
You know, like, and I'm like, oh, no way. And
nope.
And they swim under the boat. And it was just like, ooh, Jaws. And I was like, it took like a minute for it to like disappear. And I was like, no way.
No, you know? That is pretty crazy.
I kayak fish a lot too. And I was in Palos Verdes and I got chased by a great white.
What?
Yeah. So it was on my kayak. My buddy Brian, salty too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I corner my eye, see like come up and go down. And I'm like, what was that? And I'm like, I just saw a submarine. Or something just like large, just came up and went down. And I was like, I ain't tripping, you know? And he's like, oh, it's probably a seal, you know, because they send me the flipper. And I'm like, an elephant seal? Or like, oh, okay, whatever, dude. Whatever, you know? So I'm paddling, over, from like the Point Fermin area right there, you know, and the kelp over towards the rock-walled halibut fish. And then the thing's inside of the beach, you know, me. And I'm like, and it comes up, and I'm like, look. And he's like, great white. I'm like, oh my God. You know? And I'm like, no. So then I just panic and I just start paddling in, and then it turns and it's like,
it's like, what's that moving away? What's that trying to get away from me?
Straight up starts coming directly at us. And it's like Jaws. And it's like, as long as my arm out of the water and 3.5-4 feet wide, just, you know, water creating a wake. And I'm like, what the fudge cake? And we're paddling in and it's like coming at us, and then it goes down, and I'm like, and I was right after Shark Week, and I'm like, okay, they go down, they're gonna come up and bump me, and I'm like, it's gonna get my leg or what's gonna happen. So we're paddling in and it goes down, and then sure enough we end up catching a wave and nose diving, and I'm like Richard Pryor high stepping out of the water, like, screw the kayaks, screw everything else, I don't want it to like come and roar, you know. So I was just like, let that stuff drift for 10-15 minutes before I try to retrieve anything. And luckily he came in too, you know, did the same thing. We had two different kayaks at the time, and then he went and bought the one I had because mine was a lot faster.
All right.
Yeah.
That's when speed makes a difference.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, no, we luckily made it out safe. And then next day they saw the same shark, an 18-footer, feeding on a seal right there.
No way.
So I was like, that was the same shark that was freaking
okay. After this, this episode, we're gonna point that spot on the map so I don't go diving there.
Yeah, no, it's right off the beach there to the right, like
you know, where you were last weekend,
right? Right there, Point Furman, whatever they call it. Like, catch a lot of sea bass, all that stuff over there. So, yeah,
right, you're crazy.
I was never again want to go there.
I don't want to go there.
I wouldn't.
That's crazy,
you know, not to say it's going to get anybody, but you never know.
Yeah, you never
they're
know,
there. They're
18 footer.
Yeah. And I was just like, there's submarine right here. You know, I'd never seen a shark or even thought about it really like that. You know,
I saw a 10 footer, but that an 18
monster.
It's a monster for sure.
Monster. And it was just, and I was like, oh my God. It was
that'll huge. Trip you out.
Yeah. And didn't see them make a lot
of there kelp around there?
Off to the right, yeah.
But like, it didn't come out of the kelp, right?
No, because we were coming from the kelpy area to go fish the rocks over there. So it was swimming around in between. It was in shallow water, though, because I was probably only maybe 100 yards out. And it was just right. It was on the other side.
You know, like, where we are, like, dude.
That's crazy.
Like, no way. That was like 6 years ago.
Oh, that's not cool, dude. You kind of freaked me out.
Hey, so I was like, you want me to get in there?
You're like, I don't know about that, man.
I mean, they're always there, but they're not after us. That's like,
but when you're shooting fish and there's blood in the water and whatnot.
Okay, that might be a little bit of a
thought pops in the back of your mind, man. But
also, here's the thing. They're not after us.
For sure. I'll take the fish.
Take the fish.
Yep. Take the fish.
I'll even
grab a seal, whatever you need.
I have a quick release on my fish stringer. You could have it. You could have it. Absolutely.
How are seals out there? I've been on a seals float tube and been pulled, and that was right after the shark, so I freaked out. Yeah, caught a couple of halibut paddling with my feet, and they're drifting, and all of a sudden, whoa, and I'm like, I'm hanging down. Help! Everybody's coming like, what? Next thing you know, I like let go of the buoy and everything, and the thing goes down, and here comes this big old seal. Roar, and I was just like, you guys get it. You know, I'm getting out of here. Like,
yeah, we've had a couple run-ins with seals. You know, they can be pretty aggressive, you know, like if they just kind of make, I call it false charging, where they kind of run right at you and they're so agile in the water that you're looking at them and you're like, I can't move.
Yeah.
And this thing is swimming at you so fast. And then it darts last second, it darts off and just does a 90-degree turn and disappears.
Oh, wow.
And you know, they're kind of just checking you, kind of seeing what's going on. And you're kind of like, have to, I don't want to say show aggression, but you're going, hey, I'm the alpha here. Like I'm almost like a dog, you know, kind of thing. You know what I mean? And it's pretty interesting. It's happened plenty of times, man. It's crazy.
I don't like them.
Yeah. They're kind of annoying. They kind of squash the vibe a little bit for sure, dude. Yeah.
I don't like seals. But they kind of scare me.
Yeah.
They look like sharks in the water, to be honest with you.
Yeah. If you catch them out of the corner of your eye or something.
Do they sometimes charge up from the bottom? Just like a shark.
A dark thing coming at you.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
And what they're doing to the fishery and boats out here, you know, I've been in the Newport Harbor and stuff, and seals are just on $1 million yacht. You know, they're all posted up on the back, the swim steps just leaning down. I've seen a little old lady out there on her dock trying to get it off.
And they're aggressive too, man. They're not getting off, dude.
My dock, I'm resting, you know.
What are they doing in San Diego with the buckets? Or where do we see the buckets at?
No, I haven't seen that. I know that.
I saw buckets somewhere. They put buckets of like water on the docks. So that they don't come up and birth. Yeah, I forgot where I saw that.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that they have kind of wreaked a little havoc on the fisheries and stuff. And, you know, it's kind of turns into competition on the water, right? You hook up a fish. You know, I've heard about like down in the Coronados, even over like San Clemente Island, you know, some of the sport boats are having issues. And
big time.
You know, there's no control over it, you know, and it's kind of a species that.
What's your take on that?
Yeah, what is your take on that?
I don't know, man. It sucks, you know, like over the last 3 to 4 years, it's gotten worse and
worse. What's the solution?
And worse.
What's the solution? Because that's the obvious thing.
I mean,
they
should honestly open up tags or something on these guys. You know what I mean? Because they're overpopulated, it seems, out here. You know, it's honestly ruined. I've been on boats to where you can't even get your bait out there because the seals are just taking your bait. As soon as you throw a sardine out there, it comes back with the head. And then you actually get one by it, you hook a fish, and then it takes your fish. I've had my first 2 sea bass taken by seals. And I'm paid so much money to catch those fish and hunt those fish.
Right.
They call them ghosts, and you finally catch a ghost, you know?
Right.
And it's like, yeah.
I'm on, let's go.
They're like, wine. And I'm like, I'm wine. They're like, you got to wine faster. And I'm like, wine as fast as I can. And then all of a sudden, and then he's sitting there 20 yards out flopping my 30-pound sea bass around. And I'm like, no way.
That'll bum you out,
you know what I mean? And it's, Yeah, the sport boats had a huge issue, you know, because their numbers, a lot of people look at how many fish they're catching.
Right.
So if seals, you know, you got to factor in seals taking 20, 30% of them, and then just people losing 20, 30%. Right. So,
yeah, 50% of your boats are off the boat, man. You're not landing fish. And,
yeah.
And I would say even it kind of plays into the, you know, you see a lot of stories right now with sharks kind of in the water, local waters. It plays into that too, because the seals are a food source for these great whites, and there's been kind of a spawn of great whites. And so now you're seeing an over inflection, or you're seeing more spottings of great whites locally. Yeah. And so it's like, it all kind of like turns into this effect. It's all kind of cause and effect. And they've lifted the regulations on sharks, which I'm sure probably caused something for the seal levels to pick up. So it's kind of interesting. I don't know enough, definitely not an expert, but you're just kind of like, as an observer, you're going, man, there's something going on here. Cause you're seeing way more seals. Like everywhere you go, they're out there.
Oh yeah.
People are starting to see way more sharks. So it's like, okay, maybe they go hand in hand. So it's interesting.
Why go anywhere when you got, you know, bait and food right here.
Makos and stuff. My cousin caught a mako.
Yeah. Right off the bat. Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. I did that before too. And then just the same, jump in there.
See, here's
the thing. Yo, there's Dorado in there, man. Let's jump in.
Let's go screw it in.
Ultimately, I will poke you. I'm sorry, shark, but
yeah,
I got a spear gun and I'm not gonna be an easy meal.
There's enough for both of us
here.
Get your own fish, buddy.
I will actually leave if you show up to the party.
Yeah. How about that?
It's your house. Yeah, it's your house. My bad.
All you, my man.
My bad. Party, bro. I was salty.
So salty, kid.
Funny, man. It's there's so much fun out there, man. It's just like doing
different
trips. It's just
different.
It's hard. I mean, it just, there's different things that happen
different
and it's kind of fun, man. Guadalupe has been on my trip, man. I want to do one of those long range trips, dude, out of San Diego. I know like Shogun, the Searcher, there's a bunch of boats that go down there.
Yeah.
You know, 2.5 day, 3 day trips, 4 day, 5 days, you know, like going down there. That seems like a fun gig.
5.5 day. We go from San Diego, we go down and check in Ensenada. Then it's 24 hours from Ensenada to Guadalupe.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you got two full days of motoring and then, you know, 3 days of fishing.
Usually about two and a half days.
Yeah.
But it's killer. It's killer fishing out there. A lot of action. You see 100-pound fish just out of the water and big old calicos at night, yellowtail, and you know, you never know what you're going to get. I've seen the biggest yellowtail, like just 50 pounders come up, and I'm like, oh my God. You know, the shoulders on those things is unreal. But the tuna over there, you know, fishing like 50, 60-pound line is super fun.
Really?
Yeah, I got a 160 on 50-pound, and that was just kick my butt, you know. But I've learned, like, a lot about fishing for bigger fish over there. The first time I hooked one, I looked like a wussy. Older, like, you know, Asian gentleman I was fishing with just over there just cranking them all nonchalant. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm sweating, struggling. I literally woke up the next day and I couldn't walk. My legs were so sore because I was sitting on the rod and I did like a million squats. You know what I mean? And I don't work out much, you know, and that's like 500 pounds of weight to me on my back. You know, I woke up the next day and I was like, I can't move. You know, I'm in my bed just like, trying. And they're like, what is he doing in there? You know, trying to bend my legs. So salty. I came up like stick man, like, and they're like, what is wrong? Like, anybody got anything gay or anything? Like,
help me out.
Yeah,
help me out.
I can't move again. What do you want to do? Just throw it out there. You know, catch another one, work it out. Ended up with nine fish that trip. Yeah,
came awesome, dude. That's awesome, but, man.
I was like hurting. I was like, okay, how do you guys do that? Yes, I just sat back and I watched. And I was like, let me just observe for a little.
A little technique, a little finesse.
Just like armpit, I got me some knee pads, you know, and it was on.
Oh,
you know,
so it's doing like real, like rail fishing, like getting up on the rail and like.
You're trying to hold that with 100, anything over 100 pounds, I'm not using that. Anything over 60 pounds, I'm probably going to do it.
Crazy. That's awesome.
But it depends on, you know, what kind of gear I got and whatnot.
Right.
But I just try to use it to my advantage.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, use your gear. You know, this burnt my back getting older and all that.
feeling it for a week,
like a
dude.
Golf shot. I don't care how it gets there, as long as I get there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just get it to the boat. And but learn some good technique. You know, just using the rail and your armpit and just on your knee and just letting everything kind of work with you. Because holding that for an hour to hour and a half is extremely hard.
Yeah.
You know, that's hard.
It's brutal, man.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting my ass kicked.
Yeah, man, we want to do that one, dude.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting my ass kicked like that. Definitely. Yeah,
but it's fun. It's super amazing. Just the fish coming out of the water everywhere. Dude. You get that bait. It's like, oh, I'm on.
That's what's up.
You know? Oh. Yeah, and it's just all day. And the sunsets and, you know, scenery out there and the food. Amazing.
Yeah. And the food. Just
food. Oh, yes.
The
food.
Out on those long range trips, man. They do a good business on the food, man.
Yeah, we got steak, lobsters, and I mean you name it, we're eating it on those things. Prime rib, and you know, I fished the Apollo a lot, and Fred on that boat just hooks it up. You know, it's bacon and egg sandwich is my favorite. Every morning he's like, "You want your sandwich?" I'm like, "You know it." He knows exactly how to make it. It's just all buttered bread. Just the right amount of cheese, you know, not too cheesy, but oh my God, just amazing.
But salty.
Super salty. So salty.
Funny stuff, man.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, Lamar, dude, we appreciate your time so much, dude. Man. This was a blast, man. We had a good time with you, dude. It was great meeting you, great doing this, dude. We appreciate you coming on. Likewise. Sharing your stories, dude. So having a good time, man.
So good.
Likewise, Jason, Adrian, it's been a blast. I appreciate you boys coming down, and we'll get out there, catch some fish, and get you guys on some big fish, and you'll get me in the water.
Let's do it, man. Yeah, that sounds like a good trade right there, man. Well, everybody, thank you for listening, man. Free Range Tales. So salty.
All right.
So
Free Range salty. Tales.
Check you guys out next time, man. Baby. Peace.
All right.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Free Range Tales podcast. We're having fun reliving some of our stories and hope you guys are too. Leave us a comment and let us know what you think. Also, check us out on Instagram @FreeRangeTales. Thanks for listening. We'll check you next time.